Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace.
Islam is the religion of incest and pedophilia, where they bow down to a stupid rock and a false prophet. I will never let you feel honored.
Will this radical Christian become the next congresswoman from Texas?
Muslims have raped over a million girls in the UK and have cut off the heads of innocent Christians in Syria because they refuse to bow down to their stupid rock. And the very same fate awaits your sons and daughters unless you send me to Congress, because I'm the only one who's not afraid of them. I'm going to be very honest with you. I didn't have the blessing of being born in America or even call myself a Texan, but you can't tell me that I don't care about Texas. The clowns in the Texas House allowed for a bunch of radical Muslims to take over entire cities. Now, they're trying to turn Texas from a Christian state into the Muslim capital of America. So let me be very clear. America is a Christian nation, so these Muslims can f off to any of the 57 Muslim nations. Islam has no place here.
Now, this is a clear example of a radical extremist. Do we blame Christianity for producing a monster like this? She obviously forgot about love your neighbor, teachings of the Bible, and the Prince of Peace, Jesus, and the teachings of love. So she follows the devil and the hate and division that he loves to spread. But ask yourself, what if she had just replaced the word Muslim with another religious group?
So these Muslims can f off to any of the 57 Muslim nations. Islam has no place here.
Would she be able to get away with it? What do you think? Absolutely not. To insult an entire religious group, whether it's Muslims, Jews who worship at the wall, for example, or any other community, is unacceptable. You see, what people like her do is throw out a bunch of lies out there, hoping that just one of them will stick. It feeds into a toxic cycle for those looking for someone or group of people to hate. She's projecting. This is that dark-filled heart. She's projecting all that darkness out into the world. In this case, it happens to be against Islam and Muslims. She's not interested in having an intellectual discussion. I don't think she even has the capacity for one. She's looking for a platform, a paycheck, or a role in the anti-Islam hate industry. Later, I'll go ahead and summarize on some of the lies that she said, and I'm sure sincere, thoughtful, intelligent people will go ahead and understand. But let's focus. I want to really focus on a common myth she repeated.
So let me be very clear. America is a Christian nation.
And it's often repeated amongst conservatives and Christians that America was founded as a Christian nation.
No, the United States was not founded as a Christian nation.
This is what I want to focus on. And I'm just going to be talking facts here.
And we can demonstrate this in several different ways.
So what did the average white American or American at that time believe? Got this actually from a guest of mine, Dr. Gerald Dirks. He was a former deacon. He was an academic.
Hold up. This guy just making this stuff up. What do you got to say about that?
You can check it out. There's a book that I would recommend people get if they question this. It's called Faith of Our Fathers, Religion and the New Nation. Published by Harper and Row in 1987. It's by E.S. Gostad.
He's a doctor of divinity, graduated from Harvard. You can watch the show we did, but he discusses this, and these are some of the points that he mentioned. Very profound. I think everyone needs to know this, that only about 15% of white Americans during the founding period of America were actually church members.
The most optimistic estimates are that only 15%, that's 1/5, 15% of the majority white population had membership in a Christian church.
What about the rest? Only 15%. Now, if you include blacks and Indians, Native Americans, and others who are around, the numbers would be much less.
In the middle colonies, that fell down to around 7%. And in the South, that percentage was even lower. Because those are only for the white majority adult population at that time.
So what do people practice? Many practice primitive animism. These are the beliefs and superstitions, astrology, spirit worship, pretty much creation worship and folk magic.
It was a primitive form of animism, basically, and superstition that was common among the majority population.
But amongst the intellectuals, deism. Deism was the prevailing belief.
Now, among the intellectual elite, we run into something very different. Among the intellectual elite, we confront deism.
Now, what do deists believe? Deists believe in one God, but not in a Trinity or the divinity of Jesus. Many of the Americans' founders were deists or Unitarians.
Tell us.
Because none of our first seven presidents belonged to a church upon becoming president of this country.
None of them, the first seven.
And none of the first six were Orthodox Christian.
This is the first president of the United States, one of the founding fathers, George Washington, was a deist. He believed in one God, but rejected the Trinity and Jesus's divinity. He didn't believe Jesus was God, though he did accompany his wife to church. It's documented that he would walk out during the communion.
Now, Washington's wife did go to church. She was a Christian. And Washington, being a good husband, would occasionally accompany his wife to church.
Yeah.
But we have recorded in the history that when they started to do Holy Communion, or the Eucharist, as it's called in Christian worship service, Washington would get up from his pew and walk out of the church.
He'd walk out?
Walk out and wait for his wife outside.
This is recorded, documented.
Yes, he refused to participate in it.
Now, the communion, when they talk about Jesus, the blood and the bread, and they would go through these rituals, he would walk out and wait for his wife outside. When we go to John Adams, this is the second president of the United States of America.
Government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion.
Another founding father. He, John Adams, was a Unitarian.
So let's look at our second president, John Adams.
Yes.
John Adams was an early Unitarian.
Mm-hmm.
He denied the Trinity. He denied the divinity of Jesus.
That's the same thing that we as Muslims do.
Now, even in a letter to Thomas Jefferson in 1825, John Adams, he criticized Bible societies, saying, and this is quote verbatim, "The Bible societies have been instituted to divert the attention of men from their natural rights." He goes on to say, "I wish that societies were formed in India, in China, in Turkey,
to send us gratis translations of their sacred books." Here's a second president of the United States.
Wow.
Saying, you know, "I wish those Muslims over there in Turkey would send us some free translations of the Quran."
Totally goes against what the American original founders were upon, understanding different cultures and religions, unlike this.
So these Muslims can off to any of the 57 Muslim nations. Islam has no place here.
Radical. I mean, she calls herself a Christian. This lunatic is out there espousing hate, division. Let's continue on. Adams expressed a genuine desire to learn from other cultures, including the Muslim majority Turkey. I mean, he advocated for religious and intellectual openness. Is she doing the same? Are people like her that follow her, people with these hate-filled hearts, are they following actually because they claim they hide behind the mask of America's founded as a Christian nation? And we have to say, I mean, obviously, these are the facts here. Let's go on. Thomas Jefferson, the third president, was also a deist. He rejected traditional Christian doctrine.
Millions of innocent men, women, and children since the introduction of Christianity have been burned, tortured, fined, and imprisoned. Yet we have not advanced one inch toward uniformity. What has been the effect of coercion to make one half of the world fools and the other half hypocrites?
Calling the Trinity hocus pocus phantasm.
Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson, again, was a deist. He was not a Christian. In fact, he had some really anti-Christian comments to make.
The third president of the United States.
The third president. For example, he called the Trinity a, and I'm quoting here, hocus pocus phantasm of a God.
Abracadabra.
And then went on to call the Trinity mere abracadabra.
He called the Book of Revelations the ravelings of a maniac.
These are the words of Thomas Jefferson.
You didn't say it. I didn't say it.
No. This is what Jefferson said. This is what Jefferson said. Yeah. And again, I'm quoting directly from Thomas Jefferson. He's saying it was, quote, merely the ravings of a maniac, no more worthy nor capable of explanation than the incoherencies of our own nightly dreams. What has no meaning admits no explanation.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jefferson not only was not a Christian, he was actually anti-Christian.
Yeah.
Now, these are not my words. These are the words of Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers.
And then he compared the believers in the Trinity to mentally ill patients in bedlam.
Thomas Jefferson, former president of the United States.
Third president of the United States, yeah.
Okay. And this is not trying to disrespect our Christian friends and neighbors. This is just quoting the facts for people like this.
Unless you send me to Congress, because I'm the only one who's not afraid of them.
This crazy person who's running for Congress, but she doesn't know basic history.
I have found Christian dogma unintelligible. Early in life, I absenteed myself from Christian assemblies. Lighthouses are more helpful than churches.
Benjamin Franklin was the most influential founding father, was a deist. He did not believe Jesus was divine, crucifixion, Trinity.
Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers. A deist.
Same as the other founding fathers that I just mentioned. Thomas Paine, the author of Common Sense.
Whenever we read the obscene stories, the voluptuous debaucheries, the cruel and torturous executions, the unrelenting vindictiveness with which more than half the Bible is filled, it would be more consistent that we called it the word of a demon than we call it the word of God. It is a history of wickedness that has served to corrupt and brutalize mankind.
Was also an outspoken deist. John Quincy Adams, another founding father.
John Quincy Adams, our sixth president of the United States, who was a Unitarian, who refused, most people are going to be shocked by this, refused to take his oath of office on a Bible, insisting instead that he place his hand on a book of U.S. law.
Refused to take his oath of office on the Bible. So how can a president who refuses to take a founding father to refuse to take his oath on the Bible, how can then we call this a Christian nation? This debunks this myth. He was a Unitarian who denied Jesus's divinity.
America was not founded as a Christian nation.
Period.
Period.
I mean, this is amazing. When you look at their lives and their belief, you would think that they are more closer to the Islamic belief, a belief in only one God. And many Christians, they did a poll that 30% or more of Christians don't believe Jesus is actually God. So the founding fathers did not believe Jesus was God. Muslims don't believe Jesus is God. We love Jesus as a mighty messenger like Moses and Abraham. They didn't believe in the crucifixion. They didn't believe in Trinity. You're going to see, like, I mean, some of the things that Thomas Jefferson said and others, they'd actually be closer to Islam.
We can look at some early state and constitutions.
The idea that America was founded as a Christian nation, let alone a Judeo-Christian nation, is a myth.
So first of all, remember that we were a collection of states and colonies, and you need to read the state constitutions before anything else.
Now going a little deeper, of the 13 colonies, only South Carolina had an official...
Now there was great variation among the 13 original colonies and states in terms of their specific state constitutions. But it's interesting to note that out of the original 13, there was only one that established Christianity as a state religion, and that was South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then they were establishing only Protestant Christianity. as the state religion.
Many state constitutions actually banned, get this, banned Christian ministers from holding public offices.
On the flip side, many of the early state constitutions banned Christian ministers from holding political office. So Delaware, its constitutions of 1776 and 1792, Georgia in 1777 and again in 1789 and 1798, Kentucky in 1792, New York in 1777, North Carolina in 1776, South Carolina in 1778, even though they established Protestant Christianity as the state religion, Tennessee in 1796 and Virginia in 1786, all banned Christian ministers from holding political office.
And just read the Declaration of Independence. Read the Constitution. There is no mention of Jesus being God, crucifixion, Christianity, the Trinity, none of it at all. So all of these facts dispel the myth that she's repeating.
Again, you know, the comments that were made by Jefferson, made by Adams, those are their comments.
Yeah.
You know, I quoted them, but they're not my comments.
Yes.
They're Jefferson's comments. They're Adams' comments.
Because we can't be Muslims unless we love Jesus Christ, peace be upon him.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And as Muslims, we do not attack other religions as well. You know, the Quran in the second chapter has this wonderful statement about freedom of religion.
Yeah.
Where it says, let there be no compulsion in religion.
Yes.
Period.
Many people like her, ignorant people, they just don't know. And they're trying to hide behind this false notion. And then they spread this hate and division against Islam and Muslims. But this is a myth. So, I mean, what if I told you that early America wasn't as hate-filled, Islamophobic as this insane monster is? You know, the founding fathers, they showed respect. They wanted to read the Quran and even made peace with Muslim nations. For example, in 1777, Morocco became, this is a Muslim country, Morocco became the first country to recognize U.S. independence. Did you know that? In 1786, the U.S. and Morocco signed a treaty of friendship, still active today, making it the longest unbroken treaty in U.S. history. I mean, you got George Washington, first president, personally thanked the Sultan of Morocco for his support.
Read the Declaration of Independence. There's not one mention of Jesus Christ in the Declaration of Independence anywhere. This doesn't sound like a Christian nation. Read the Constitution. There's no mention of Jesus Christ or even of God in the Constitution. In the Declaration of Independence, when there is a reference to God, it's usually in the impersonal terms of the deists, you know, nature's God, quote unquote, their creator, quote unquote, supreme judge of the world, quote unquote. These were catchphrases of the deists.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the terms that we see appearing in the Declaration of Independence.
Let's talk about, this is very important to know, very important history. Let's talk about the 1796 Treaty of Tripoli. And this is in Article 11 states, pay attention, this is powerful stuff. Article 11 states,
as the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, as it has in itself no character of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility of Muslims, and as said states never entered into any way or act of hostility against any Mohammedan nation, it is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinions shall ever produce an interruption of the harmony existing between the two countries.
That the government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. It has itself no character of enmity against the laws. This is Sharia law. You got Jewish Sharia law, if you didn't know that also. But the Sharia, they're basically saying the laws of Islam, the religion, or tranquility of Muslims. This was drafted during George Washington's presidency and signed into law by John Adams. It was unanimously approved by the Senate. No senators objected. I mean, when do you like actually have that happening? Look at that. And let's not forget that many Christians came to America, and that's when you had the influx of Christians coming, but they were coming here to escape persecution. But from who? From Muslims? No, from other Christians.
Why do people push this idea?
It's an attempt to rewrite history. You know, it's an attempt to rewrite history. People focus on things like the pilgrims coming to America or Catholics coming to America in the middle colonies, etc., Quakers coming to Pennsylvania, etc. And they say, well, you know, this was established as a Christian nation.
Yeah.
But what they fail to realize is that in almost all of these cases, these Christian groups that were coming to America were fleeing from religious persecution in Europe.
Yeah.
And who was persecuting them in Europe?
Who?
Other Christians.
Other Christians were persecuting Christians.
Sure. And so they were fleeing to America. They wanted to distance.
Yeah, Muslims weren't persecuted.
No, it wasn't Muslims.
Yeah.
It was other Christians were persecuting.
Wow.
Them. And so even those who were Christians wanted to make sure that you were not setting up any kind of a theocracy in this country.
If we look at Thomas Jefferson, he owned a Quran. Now, 11 years before he wrote the Declaration of Independence, he studied Islamic law, they say, and religious freedom. In 1805, Jefferson hosted the first White House iftar. Then you break your fast and you have iftar, and he hosted that to accommodate the Muslim ambassador during Ramadan. Yes, over 200 years ago by the founding fathers of America. The founding fathers, they defended religious freedom for Muslims also. You know, George Washington said America must welcome the oppressed and persecuted of all religions. John Adams called Prophet Muhammad, John Adams, another founding father of America, he called Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He didn't insult him like these Islamophobes do, these hate-filled people do. He called Prophet Muhammad a soldier of truth. You know, tens of thousands of Muslims were brought to America, not by their free will, but they were brought through the transatlantic slave trade. They were kidnapped, tortured, and they were brought here from their homes. You know, historians estimate around 20, 30, some even 40% were enslaved Muslims from Africa that were brought here illegally. I mean, illegally according to God, but the laws at that time, it was allowing it. So the next time someone says Islam doesn't belong in America, remember these facts. Share this with them. Share this with them. The people out there like her and others who are ignorant of these facts, we have to dispel this myth. And many of the myths that she, and lies, I mean, just outright asinine lies that she's repeating. I mean, this is a fact. Muslims helped build America. It was respected by the founding fathers and legally protected. This isn't just Muslim history. It's American history. If you just open up the right books and you read, they're trying to rewrite it.
Why do people push this idea?
It's an attempt to rewrite history. You know, it's an attempt to rewrite history.
So if you study Islam and the main message of Islam, which you never hear any of these radicals attack, they won't attack the pure, absolute monotheism of Islam, the five pillars, the six articles of faith. This is like the meat and potatoes. They always jump to and quote something out of context, and they throw out something random out there, and all you have to do is read the verse before and after. All you have to do is get things in their context. And you won't see them do that. They're very insincere, not genuine. They're looking to insult, not to have an intelligent academic conversation. But that's the main call of Islam, to surrender and submit your will to the will of the creator of the heavens and the earth, not his creation, to live a morally upright life. And a good Muslim is a good human. And if you're a Muslim not following Islam, then you're following this culture, which promotes, I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry, more than football, basketball, more all the sports combined, porn, alcohol, drinking, fornicating, dating, OnlyFans, disrespect to your parents, lying, that Machiavellian lifestyle, the worship of the self, materialism, which corrupts the self, corrupts the heart and the soul, which leads people into darkness. and doing dark and evil things, following the devils and the satanic way of life, which Islam came to bring people out from the darkness into the light. Now, we got nothing to hide. You go here, you sincerely want to know what Islam and Muslims are about, read the book. Hey, it's got a translation here for you. And I'm going to give it to you for free. How's that sound? For free, right? It's not like a book we say, no, stay away from it. You can't read it. We're giving it out to you for free. And all you got to be is sincere. Ask the creator of the heavens and earth, say, guide me. If this is the truth that you sent down, if this is for me, from the creator, for all of humanity, help me understand. Help me see it as the truth. Be sincere in your quest. But if you're malicious and you're looking for trouble, if you're just looking to debate, to argue, you're not looking for the truth, you're not going to be guided. God will guide you. If you want to go towards darkness, that's where you're going to go. If you want to go towards the light, towards the purpose of life, you want to connect with your creator, then you ask the creator of the heavens and earth to guide you, to guide you, to guide me. And you'll see that Islam is the way of life that was lived, as I said, by every messenger that was sent. It's for you. It's for all of mankind. Prophet Muhammad was the last and final messenger sent for all of mankind. There's a ton of evidences and proofs that's far beyond one man to go ahead and come up with, or a group of men, or the devil. So it leaves just one conclusion at the end, that this is indeed from the creator of the heavens and the earth. Enough said. We've dispelled this myth, and we'll see you next time. Subscribe right now if you haven't, so you don't miss exciting programs and like this one. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you, which is the greeting of Jesus. And we live the way of Jesus, of Islam, submission to the will of God. Thank you. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.